Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
So let's open up in a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning as a grateful, appreciative, thankful people, because you are a good God. You are an amazing God. You are the unbelievable creator of the universe, and here we have access to you. We're just blown away, Lord. So I pray that as we dive into your word in Hebrews 12, that you would just reveal to us additional reasons as to why we should be a thankful and appreciative people. Would you please just open up our minds and our ears and our hearts and our lives to what you would say to each one of us today? And may we be so profoundly impacted by your living, powerful word that it will not return void, and that we will have a shift in our lives so that we can better understand you, glorify you, serve you, and love you. So Lord, I thank you for each person here and their families and friends that they will be joining with today. And I just ask for a blessing upon their celebrations. And we're going to start off this celebration by giving you worship and awe and glory and thanksgiving. We love you, Lord, and we're so blessed to pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. All right, well, here's Hebrews 12. Which reads, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition for sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.' Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed. Make every effort to live in peace with everyone and to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterward, as you know, when he wanted to inherit his blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it begged that no further word be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, "I am trembling with fear." But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will they if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, "Once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." The words "once more" indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. For our God is a consuming fire. The word of God. Thanks be to God. We have so much this morning to be thankful for. As verse 28 says, when I started out, I mentioned it. Let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. As many of you know, I just returned from Los Cocos in the Dominican Republic, and in Spanish, their translation for Thanksgiving Day is Día de Acción de Gracias, Day of the Action of Thanks. They are intentionally in an action of being grateful, of being thankful. So let's do the same today and see why and how the Lord wants us to be in the action of giving thanks through Hebrews 12. Let's start at the very beginning. Verse 1 says once again, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." Take a look at that first word, "therefore." It's a connecting word, and it connects us to chapter 11. So we're going to go back for just a quick second so we can fully understand chapter 12. And I want to inform us, and myself as well, who this great cloud of witnesses are that the author is referring to. So talk about giving thanks. We've been provided with the hall of fame of faith in Hebrews 11. Thanks be to God for our role models in the Old Testament of the Bible, such as Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Rahab, David, the prophets, and others. We have so much to learn from them, and they are there for a reason, to encourage us and to spurn us on in life. Currently, I'm reading a book on the lessons of the leadership of Moses. I never tire of the sermons on Joseph, how he went from the pit to the palace, And Daniel is one of my heroes. In Hebrews 11, 33 to 38, the author of Hebrews describes these role models as those who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. They did it all by faith. All by faith, and so can we. Thanks be to God. Be reminded that Hebrews was being written to the church who was being persecuted and was suffering, and the author wanted to encourage them. But get this, we are even more blessed to have even more encouragement, support, and power than those mentioned in Hebrews 11, because verses 39 and 40 continued. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Since God had planned something better for us, so that only together would they be made perfect. Guess what, church? We have Jesus, the perfecter of our faith, and the one who will perfect their faith as well. Thanks be to God. We do not have enough time this morning, and we do not have enough words in our vocabulary to adequately thank God for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Verse 2 of Hebrews 12 continues, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." And a note in this commentary that I have, it's the Believer's Bible Commentary, says, Jesus is the author or pioneer of our faith in the sense that he has provided us with the only perfect example of what the life of faith is like. Those that went before us in the Old Testament, that list of names that I just read, they are so awesome and encouraging, and they're my role models. But Jesus is the only perfect example. The commentary continues. He is also the finisher of our faith. He not only began the race, but finished it triumphantly. For him, the race course stretched from heaven to Bethlehem, then on to Gethsemane and Calvary, then out of the tomb and back to heaven. At no time did he falter or turn back. He kept his eyes fixed on the coming glory when all the redeemed would be gathered with him eternally. This enabled him to think nothing of shame and to endure suffering and death. Today, he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Thanks be to God. If we fix our eyes on Jesus, then we can respond to verse 1, which commands us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. We could spend all morning on that first verse, but I know you have turkeys to cook and places to go, which begs the question, what race is marked out for you today? Run your race today, not anyone else's. Many times we look to other people and try to run their race, but we're being challenged to run our own race that God is calling us to. Each one of us has a personal race, and guess what? Jesus is running that race with you. Thanks be to God. Just another reason to be thankful. His presence is always with us. And keep your eyes on him. If you look to others and other things, you will put on things that are not part of your individual race. You will be hindered. This isn't a suggestion, but we are commanded to throw off everything, not just some things, but everything that hinders our race. When I was reading this, I thought back to the Summer Olympics and all the track meets that I watched. And wow, their races were not an easy sprint. And I was also thinking how sometimes when you're in training, when competitors are in training, they do carry extra weight, but to run the race, they take it off. And we're being commanded to run the race. We've got the perfect coach, the Holy Spirit, Jesus. We've got the playbook. We've got the Bible. We've got cheerleaders like Pastor Brendan and Pastor Danielle and all the other staff and pastors at Fusion. We've got our community spectators, those that are spurring us on. So if your race includes challenging things today, look to the playbook, look to your coach, look to your cheerleaders. As a matter of fact, Pastor Brennan just preached two awesome sermons these last 2 weeks to remind us to give thanks in the midst of the challenge and to be reminded as we sit at our feast tables today to remember how Jesus ate at the Last Supper. And I love that sermon that he did with a communion, and he gave an awesome sermon saying, taken, blessed, broken, given. I want to remember that. So of course, I made up a little acronym because that's how I remember things. And that's TBBG. And I put down for me to remember, take bread with a big God. Take bread, TBBG, big God. So today, you're going to be taking bread with your family and friends. And if you think that's going to be a challenging time, I don't have time to summarize the sermons that Pastor Brendan preached. But if needed, to fix your eyes on Jesus while cooking, preparing, or traveling, listen to one of the sermons. Again, we are a forgetful people, but thanks be to God, he has given us encouragement and direction in so many ways, especially, as we've already said, through our greatest role model and lover of our soul, Jesus. Verse 3 points us right to him. It says, consider him, referring to Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinful man, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Thanks be to God for the loving, the amazing love of Jesus, that his love for you and me allowed him to persevere to the extent of suffering that I doubt none of us will ever encounter in life. Verse 4 reminds us, in your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. That is not to make light of our suffering. Suffering is suffering, and the Lord knows what each one of us is going through. But he says that to encourage you that you have access to the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. So as we have our moments of suffering, look to Jesus, call upon that power. Ask for assistance, humble yourself, and receive the Lord's presence and help. And also remember, as you're struggling, that God loves us so completely that he addressed you and me as his children, and therefore disciplines you as children. Now, some people think of that word discipline as harsh punishment. But did you know that the word discipline comes from the Latin word disciplina, which means instruction and training? who doesn't need instruction and training to run the race. The root word of disciplina is dicere, which means to learn. Our flesh sees punishment with the word discipline, but the heart of God sees teaching, protection, and empowerment. The author of Hebrews 12 reminds us of the truth of Proverbs 3:11-12, which says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son." Thanks be to God for his amazing love and his discipline, and for his desire to share in his holiness, as verse 10 points out. Wow, we get to share in his holiness. That's mind-boggling. And thanks be to God for the reminder in verse 11. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. I remember as a little child, I would sit at the table, you know, even Thanksgiving table. And if my elbows were on the table, my parents would say, "Annie, Annie, strong and able, get your elbows off the table. This is not a horse's stable. This is Robeson's dining table." And then, you know, that seems like a silly reminder, but I remember it. And we would roll our eyeballs at our parents when they would say things like that. But they were training us up so that we could sit at a dining table correctly. From their perspective, I'm not trying to teach anybody table manners today. Then, you know, that's when we were little. Then I'll never forget in middle school, this was in the 70s. And if you're my age, you remember those airport movies. And I remember the entire neighborhood was going to, I think it was Airport 74, 75. And I was the only one in the neighborhood not allowed to go because it was a PG movie. And boy, did I think that that was painful and embarrassing, the only one. But as I look back, my parents were protecting me from things that they probably didn't want me to see at that early age. And then as I got older, you know, my parents are no longer disciplining me. And there's a couple things more serious than elbows on the table and PG movies. But the Lord, like my parents, has never given up on me and continues to teach me, empower me, and train me so that I can run this race. And I just want to say thanks be to God for his discipline. And I have a little side note here. If you need a resource with biblical discipline ideas for children, I love the book Creative Correction by Lisa Welchel. And I always, Matthew and I, my husband and I, always tried. We were not perfect parents by any means, so please don't hear that. But we attempted to always undergird our discipline with biblical principles. And that's why I love that book. She gave so many creative ways to infuse scripture into raising our children. And then another side note, our earthly fathers are not the same as our heavenly fathers. Some of you may have had wonderful earthly fathers and others not so wonderful. Be reminded to learn the characteristics and attributes of our heavenly father and not fall into the trap of comparing him to our earthly fathers. So many people have a hard time coming to a relationship with our heavenly father because they see our earthly fathers. And I was very blessed to have a wonderful earthly father, but my heavenly father, I can say without a shadow of a doubt, is, I can't even explain how much more perfect, complete, and beautiful my heavenly father is. And so let's get back from these side notes. We need to run the race with our eyes fixed on Jesus and accept with thanksgiving the Lord's discipline. And I love how verse 14 tells us the why behind the what. Verse 14 says, make every effort to live in peace with everyone, to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Today, the Lord wants to delight in you as he uses your race, your life, to allow others to see him. Thanks be to God for the privilege of partnering with God's perfect plan that none should perish and all be in his eternal presence. Maybe today, I don't know, a family member or friend needs to see the grace of God through you. So God warns us in verse 16 of bitter roots that grow and cause trouble. Thanks be to God for this reminder so that we can be a blessing to others on this Thanksgiving day and beyond. This isn't a message just for Thanksgiving. It's a message for every day. And just like God is using the forefathers mentioned in Hebrews 11 to encourage us, he wants to use you. I think of that poster, I want you, with Uncle Sam. He wants to use you and delight in you as you encourage others and point them to the love and the power of our Lord. He wants to use you and me as role models. And as Uncle Ben warned Peter Parker, AKA Spider-Man, with great power comes great responsibility. So that's why verse 16 really spoke to me. It says, see that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Sexual immorality is a serious sin, but so are all our other sins. So you might be thinking, oh, this isn't for me. I don't have that sin. Sin is sin, people. And I was really reflecting, for whatever reason, that verse jumped out at me. And I reflected on the times that I have traded blessings, which are my right as a child of God, a co-heir in his kingdom, and instead allowed my flesh to rule like Esau did. I have fed my flesh when it wanted control or wanted to say that zinger or hold on to unforgiveness. How many blessings have I sold for a single meal to feed my flesh when the Lord had an abundant table of blessings set before me, just like our Thanksgiving meals will be today? Thanks be to God for this encouraging reminder so that we don't trade our blessings away for a moment of fleshly gratification. Thanks be to God that he used his new covenant, his plan of love through Jesus, to get through to our thick skulls instead of fear, as was used in the Old Testament and described in verses 18 to 21. Praise be to God for the but in verse 22. But you Fusion Church, you Fusion family, speaking to me, you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Thanks be to God for his new covenant, which has a name, the name of Jesus, the bread of life. And as you pass the bread at your Thanksgiving meal today, be reminded of his plan and power for your life and how he wants you to be in the hall of fame of faith to encourage others today. Verse 28 says, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. When Hebrews 12 was written, there was no established Thanksgiving Day. So if we respond correctly to this chapter, every day will be Thanksgiving Day, a day of action of thanks. And I have my bread. So as just a visual aid, as you pass that bread today, be reminded of the bread of life. But even more importantly, as you sit at the table, the feast, Lydia made this crown for me to remind me that I am a member of the family of God and I am royal in his eyes. Each of you today, be reminded that you are his son and daughter and that he has a perfect, beautiful plan. And he wants, despite the suffering, despite things that we're going through, despite the joys that we can try to take credit for and the good things in life, he wants us to be reminded that we are his sons and daughters. That's why he corrects us and he loves us, and that we are operating in this new covenant. So I just want to say thanks be to God for being able to be at his table, not just today on Thanksgiving Day, but every day. So let's just close in a word of prayer. And Lord, we just thank you for this encouraging reminder today. And we just ask that you would fill us up so boldly with your Holy Spirit, that we would live it out today and every day, so that, once again, you've always got those so that we can engage fully and run the race that you have intended for each one of us, and that we may represent you well, so that you can delight in us, Lord, as you share your love through us. God, I'm just once again so thankful for you, so thankful for each person on this call that decided to start out their Thanksgiving Day in thanks to you. Would you just bless them, give them a fresh anointing, and I don't know, Lord, just love on them today in a special way. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We love you, and we pray all these things in your powerful name. Amen. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Love you all.